Hey, you know, I don't know if we're going to be able to, but we're trying to get a Chris McSanick on the line. He has put together the coolest website, one of the coolest websites I have run across. And the reason I say that is maybe because I'm a little biased. It is a website, the Library of Chicago Children's TV of the 60s and 70s. I grew up watching these programs that he has dedicated his website to. And actually, I came across the website over the holidays because a couple of times we were bringing up on the air, what's your favorite holiday song? And the first ones that come to my mind, Hard Rock, Coco and Joe, and Here Comes Susie Snowflake. I don't know why. It's because I remember those growing up as a kid. So I did a search looking for those, and I came across Chris's website, and I'm going to... I wound up not playing the songs on the air. I don't know why. I don't know if we're allowed to anyways, but I just wanted to hear them. Uh-huh. But then I'm just reminiscing down through the websites like, oh, yeah, I remember this. And, I mean, you want to talk about bringing a smile to a then 35-year-old's face. Now it's bringing a smile to a 36-year-old's face. But needless to say, Chris is, has put together a neat website, and he's on the line. Chris.
Yes.
How are you?
Hey, I'm good.
Hey, you know what? Hats off to you for putting this website together. This is so cool.
Well, thank you.
What made you put a website such as this together?
Well, at the time I did it a few years ago, there was not a whole lot of information out there, you know, put together. There were some people who were fans of things like Clutch Cargo, or you mentioned Hard Rock, Coco and Joe, and that's because a lot of these cartoons were distributed throughout the United States and not just in Chicago.
Okay.
In Chicago, of course, certainly it's part of a culture that we all grew up with, and anybody within the broadcasting area is yourself.
Uh-oh, did we lose him?
Hello?
Okay, you're back. So somehow you got put on hold. I don't know how that happened.
Oh, it's high technology and maybe the weather.
Could be.
Yeah, so anyway, what I was saying was I had done some writing for the show in 1983, and I was just kind of fascinated with the whole culture that I was reliving as a grown-up, if you will. And I said, you know, somebody has to document this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, actually, probably what you found out in your search, where there were actually a few sites out there, some better than others. There's a lot of misinformation out there as well. And the one thing I thought that we needed was a site that really appropriately revered this information and preserved it for people.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, a lot of times, you know, people are talking about children's TV this day and some of the shows that are on there that, you know, people are thinking, you know, that's appropriate for kids and this might be a little too action-packed or violent. I'll tell you what, when you take a look, and again, a lot, I think now most of these shows that you have listed on the website, most of them were on WGN television, or all of them. I don't know if they were all, but at least most of them were.
What is the site? I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, what is the address?
Well, the site is called the Library of Chicago Children's TV of the 60s and 70s.
Right.
And it's kind of a complicated web address because I host it on AOL.
Okay.
But if you go to Yahoo and you just do a search for Chicago Children's TV,
yeah,
you'll certainly find it.
Mm-hmm.
And
I tell you, these programs that you know you could see on the Chicago TV in the 60s and 70s, you know, I would have no problem, and I don't think there's a parent in the world that would have any problem with those starting to be rerun again at all. I think kids right now would love that programming.
Yeah, I know mine, you know, we were just on Sundays. The Bozo Show moved to Sundays several years ago, and it's on only weekly now.
Mm-hmm.
But my little ones were watching it on Sunday, and it's just kind of colorful and active. And you're right, it's pretty harmless. I think if you think back in those days, what you had was kind of a TV overload. What parents don't want today is kids sitting in front of the tube. But in those days, you had Ray Rayner in the morning before school.
Yeah.
Actually, in the 60s and early 70s, Bozo Circus was on at noon, at least noon in Chicago, the 1 o'clock your time.
Right.
So some of us who were able to come home from school would come home and watch TV, and then in the afternoon you had Garfield Goose, so it was quite a lot of TV for us. But again, you're right, it was very, very harmless in terms of, you know, no violent content, just wholesome.
Yeah.
And in fact, you mentioned Hard Rock Coco and Joe, the song, which was released as a record as well. The movie short actually was created in 1951, if you can believe that.
Yeah.
Hard Rock Coco and Joe and Susie Snowflake, and then in 1950, Frosty the Snowman. So these things have been playing for generations, and in their sort of in their just primitive nature, they're just so entertaining because.
Yeah.
It's just so simple.
Exactly. I guess innocent, it comes to mind, a word that comes to mind very quickly. But, you know, at the top of the website, when you talk about Bozo, and I remember Ringmaster Ned.
Oh, sure.
And, you know, the Big Top Band. And I vaguely remember Sandy the Tramp, but I remember Cookie the Clown. And who was the Wizzo?
Wizzo, sure.
Yeah.
Well, before you go too far on Cookie the Clown, of course, Roy Brown, who played Cookie, just died recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that was Roy actually had such a history in Chicago. He started as a graphic artist on the Fraser Thomas show. It was called Garfield Goose and Friends.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of his foot in the door. And he was actually the one working the puppet, working Garfield Goose.
Oh.
So he was the one kind of clapping it, and he created the other characters, Romberg Rabbit, things like that.
Yeah.
And then what happened was Sandy the Clown, and you're right, I vaguely remember him as well, but Sandy was actually, Don Sandberg was the original producer of the show.
Okay.
And so when he went to leave, they said, well, who are we going to get? And, of course, the Cookie character came up.
Right.
And actually, it's kind of a funny story because he experimented with several different costumes, and what he landed up using was an old Bozo wig that was trimmed down. So if you can find some old photos, you can sort of see the resemblance in the red hair on the side.
Yeah, yeah. You know, have any of these programs, because, you know, if you watch TV now, there are offers on television, like you can get old reruns of MASH or Little House on the Prairie on videotape. Are any of these that you know of on a videotape that you can buy as a series?
Yeah, well, many of them are and many of them aren't. Most of the WGN material, I suppose maybe more for copyright reasons than anything else,
mm-hmm.
are not. The Ray Rayner show, for example, for all the years that the show was on the air from 62 until I think it was in the early 70s, excuse me, 81 is when it ended, those shows were not taped. They were just shot out. And, you know,
oh.
those of us who were watching it in the morning, the only thing we cared about were those school closings during
That's
the winter.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Tell me, read my school.
Uh-huh. That's right.
And that was more exciting than his jelly bean contest, I think, because that was the prize of the day. But no, most of the WGN stuff is not. There are one or two small tributes that you can find, not unfortunately for sale, but at the Museum of Broadcast Communications
mm-hmm.
in Chicago, which is sort of a repository for all of this great material, and I'm pretty jealous of them myself. If you've ever been there, they've got many things. They have the puppets from the Garfield Goose show. They have one of Frazier's jackets, you know, that he wore.
Okay.
The Cartoon Town characters, BJ, I don't know if you remember Bill Jackson, that show, Cartoon Town, Dirty Dragon. Those
Dirty Dragon.
Things. Yeah, Dirty
yeah,
Dragon.
With the lemon drop kid.
The lemon joke kid. Yeah, and all that stuff is available to view. Bill Jackson's made some of his Giggle Snort Hotel shows available on videotape, and you can find a web link to that. There are also some tapes with things like Clutch Cargo on them. You can, of course, get tapes with the Hard Rock Coco and Joe, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's sort of a smattering of material available, but most of the things that I think everybody wants, the emails that I get are always, where can I get a whole copy of Garfield Goose? Where can I get a Fine. Whole episode of Ray Rayner? It's just, you know, you can't.
Yeah.
You know, unless WGN wants to cut loose with it. Of course, the Bozo character itself is really owned by Larry Harmon, who didn't create it. He just bought the rights way
okay.
back in the 50s.
Right.
And so there's a lot of licensing issues. So.
Oh, yeah. I tell you, if nothing else, your website is cool enough where anybody who grew up in the Chicago area or, you know, here in southwestern Michigan that was able to see Chicago television and you go to the website and you just relive your childhood. It is so, even if you're having a down day, you go to the website and all of a sudden it brings a smile. Oh, I remember Garfield Goose. I'm like, Ray Rayner. The one thing that always pops into my mind about Ray Rayner for some reason is that baseball hat he had.
Oh, sure.
where it was two baseball caps sewn together. One side was Cubs, the other side was White Sox.
Yes, yes. Yes, there's what most people think about with Ray Rainer, of course, is either Chelveston the Duck.
The Duck.
With feeding him this big head of lettuce, you know,
yeah.
As if you were waiting for Chelveston to choke on the air, I think. Or that jumpsuit he wore with all the notes.
Yes. Oh,
and
that's
there's
right.
Actually, there's a good story behind that. When they were creating the show back in 61 and 62, they thought that all of the best costumes, you know, they had the clown theme going already on Bozo and Fraser Thomas, where he came up with this prime minister outfit is beyond most people. But somebody said, let's just go the other route. And somebody literally ran out to Sears and got these coveralls. And then they just dressed them up with the little notes.
Oh, yeah.
I call him sort of the father of the Post-it note.
The Post-it note.
Yeah, and the reality, though, he did an interview in the early 90s, and he said that he never really needed those notes,
mm-hmm.
but they were just decoration.
Yeah.
He dispelled a lot of what we thought was truth and kind of popped a few bubbles. The character Chauncey that he mentions, if you remember his projects with felt and glue and...
Yes.
And they... came up looking like something that a five-year-old would do.
Right.
He would always say, well, here's the one that Chauncey did, and here's mine.
Yeah.
And the funny thing was, you know, most people would make fun of Ray Rainer, but the reality was most of the kids who were doing these projects at home, theirs probably came out just like Ray's, too. So
you're right.
That he really sort of did a lot to keep the morale up of kids that, hey, you know, we're all struggling here with these projects.
Mm-hmm.
Felt is not an easy thing to work with.
No, it's not. I remember that from elementary school, too. You probably agree with me. It's just a shame that, you know, elementary school kids today cannot watch these programs on television, even before they go to school or when they come home, or maybe they're too little to be in school yet. You know, if they could watch the programs today, they'd enjoy them just as much as we did.
I believe that's true. I believe that's true. I think that whether it's our culture or whatever, but we're trying to make kids grow up much too quickly. And this was the kind of thing that was really geared towards kids being kids,
mm-hmm.
and not, you know, they didn't tackle a lot of the difficult topics of the time, and maybe there weren't any. I don't know. We were pretty well insulated.
Yeah. You had to have had a blast putting this site together.
Oh, yeah. And, in fact, you know, as I said, there was a lot of misinformation to sift through. And what you do find is that of the two or three sites, some of them are more reliable than others. Many kind of clone each other. So I drew on some of my personal experience when I was at the studio, for instance. Maybe I spoke with the producer at the time. And, you know, I don't know if you remember the grand prize game.
Yes.
And at the end... Oliver would always try to want to lead the grand march, and
Bozo right.
would have that fair and square contest and,
uh-huh.
and things like that. And so I saw the coveted Bozo baton
oh, yeah.
laying there, and the turban that Wizzo would wear. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah. I you know I was for the longest time jealous of my sister because there was one time when before I was born, the Chicago area, but my mom and dad had taken my sister to the Bozo show. And even then, they said it was, I mean, you were on a couple of year waiting list
sure.
to get tickets for that show. And I was so jealous that my sister got to go to the Bozo show. And then my mom said, well, yeah, and I was pregnant with you when we went. So I said, yes, I was at the Bozo show.
Yeah. Well, my story, it's funny because the ticket situation is legendary in Chicago. I mean, people would send away for tickets before they even had kids, probably much like in your family.
Yeah.
And one time they opened up the phone lines, I think it was in 1990, because they had booked so far ahead, they said, you know, we're going to stop issuing tickets. They opened up the phone lines in, I think it was 1990,
mm-hmm.
and at a peak they were fielding 27 million calls. Of course, most of them didn't get through.
Right.
But in 5 hours, they had distributed 125,000 tickets.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't think even the Stones could do that.
No.
You know, that's awesome.
It is.
And when I went as a kid, my aunt took us with my cousins. As you said, you know, there's this anticipation. And when we got there, Bob Bell was on vacation.
Oh,
so we
no.
didn't even get to see Bozo. It was such
oh.
a drag. It was Oliver running the show. And,
yeah.
And frankly, you know, you didn't miss anything because in the womb you didn't anyway because the show itself was pretty chaotic from my memory. And the cameras were all in the way of the audience.
Okay.
And there were small monitors. And there really wasn't a lot. You had a better view at home and
right.
later on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Chris, you know, we'll let you go, but when I ran across this website, I thought, you know what, this is really cool. When I bring it up, I just start, you know, laughing and smiling and remember sitting at home when I was a little kid watching some of these TV shows. And I don't know if you get any kickback from the broadcast of Museum of Broadcast History, but this website is enough to draw a bunch of people over there just to take a look at some stuff.
Oh, sure. And I would recommend to any of the listeners out there that the WGN TV's website has an excellent timeline with some video snippets that they can pull view on the web with you know, in real media, so you can still see and hear a lot of the things that maybe you grew up with.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So again, they can just go to Yahoo, do a search for like Chicago Children's Television. They can find your website.
Oh
there.
Yeah, you'll find me.
Yeah, great. Hey Chris, this is a neat website.
Well, thank you.
All right, hey, thanks for your time.
Sure thing. Have a good day.
Hey, you too.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye bye. What again? You know, not if you didn't grow up in the Chicagoland area or here in Southwest Michigan to be able to see the TV programs, you'll probably pull it up and go, you know, but if you saw them, wow, do you relive a lot? You know, it would be kind of cool. Is throughout the day today or at night when you get home if you have internet access, pull up the website, and again, just do a search for Chicago Children's TV. And you'll find when it pops up, it's like a tan background and a picture of an old-time television there. And it just has a little rectangle asking you to read this. And you scroll down, the first thing you see is Bozo and a write-up there, and then Ray Rayner. Check it out. And then if you want to reminisce a little bit about some of these Chicagoland television shows, children shows tomorrow during the Phil and Frazier show, that'd be kind of fun. Hey, let me see. We'll go back to the telephone real quick before the break. Prudy.
Hello.
Hi.
Phil, do you remember the Cinnamon Bear?
The Cinnamon Bear?
On, what's it, Fraser Thomas's program?
Oh, no, was that the bear that would not talk?
You know, I can't remember that part. All I can remember is the Cinnamon Bear and my kids, and I just loved to watch it.
Yeah.
And I called one time to see about getting, like, a tape of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, unfortunately, they never made tapes, and it's just destroyed. It's gone.
Yeah, that's what Chris was saying, too. Boy, that is a shame.
It is.
Like what I brought up, you know, you see where you can purchase on video cassette your reruns of different shows, and if you could get video cassettes of these shows and play them to little kids right now,
mm-hmm.
Oh, you want to talk about them just having the time of their life.
They need more things like that instead of all the nasty stuff they got on TV today.
Yeah. Have you ever been to the Museum of Broadcast Arts in Chicago?
No.
After seeing seeing the website, next time I'm in Chicago, I'm going. I mean, just to relive my childhood.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
It'd be a blast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Hey, thanks for the call.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Just reliving a little childhood here on News Talk 1400 WSJM. It's 27 after 10.